You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Welcome back to View from the Couch for Wednesday, November the 17th.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
After these commercial messages.
No, from so, last week.
Oh, welcome. Okay. I guess, sure. Why not? So, I have a new job.
Yes, you do.
Crazy. It's weird. Started talking. I didn't want to talk about it because there are people that I know that listen to the show that I didn't want to know before it was kind of appropriate. But anyway, so now I have given my notice to the Alberta Motor Association. I'm going to work for EIA, the Edmonton International Airport. So, I'm going to a senior communications advisor position. It is a move up. It is more holidays. It is more money. It is more exciting. It is a change. A change is good.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't, it just fell out of the sky. Didn't expect I'd be leaving. And I've been there 4.5 years. So people are very shocked.
Yes.
Just kind of told my, all my colleagues in the corporate communications team this past Monday. And there was a lot of shock. And at first, the reaction from a lot of people, because I do, you know, I have been known to joke around from time to time. People have said, yeah, sure. Yeah, right, Dixon. But then when I say, no, really, they're
shocked. They know you're serious.
Shocked and horrified.
Then they know you're serious.
Then they know I mean business. So I think some people that I work with are jealous. They would like to be able to leave. You know, everybody would like an opportunity and a change, I think.
Yeah. So, depending how long they've been somewhere.
True.
Some people might just be quite happy.
Yes. And jaded and entrenched. And it's too late for them. I don't know. Things like that. And it started to snow today. So, you know, contrary to popular belief, it is not snowing here year-round.
Right. No.
But yes, quite a bit of snow all of a sudden. Not really accumulating much, but we definitely have... They were on the radio station on the way, on the drive home today. They were saying, now, is this a skiff or a dusting? And so I think, I don't know.
I'm going to say dusting.
I think a dusting, yeah, because a skiff, you know, what is the real definition? What are we talking about accumulation-wise? See, a skiff to me means a layer of snow. It's
Does
not
it?
A th- it? To me.
Oh.
It's not a thick layer. It's like a, I don't know, like a pudding skin of snow.
Yeah, see,
and then a dusting
to me, skiff
is just,
means nothing. Dusting makes more sense. It just looks like someone took a massive bag of icing sugar and...
Well, to me, skiff
spread
means...
Spread it around a little.
To me, skiff means sail barge, which then means Return of the Jedi, so...
Right. Yeah, so anyway, we don't have much.
Yeah, so anyway, moving right along, dork boy. Yeah, we don't have much. So,
but we're supposed to get more.
Yeah,
so
and it's supposed
it
to get...
It could be white.
It's supposed to suddenly get quite
week.
Cold. And Emily was mourning the possibility of having a brown Christmas, and we were saying, well, I didn't even know she was doing that.
Yeah, but, she was getting a little worried that there wasn't any
it's
snow
happened.
Yet.
It's happened to us before, but the chances are not good. The odds are not
I can
good.
Remember one Christmas... Having it being brown since I've moved here.
Yeah. So,
not very many.
Let's pop over into the happy neighborhood of Couch Entertainment News. Director Zack Snyder tells Empire Magazine his approach to Superman will be respectful to the canon, but will break from it and give a new approach not yet seen on screen. Essentially, it sounds like the film will not be done in a Richard Donner-inspired mold like Superman Returns was. He also dismissed the talk of General Zod being the villain, saying, it's just wrong. The internet has no idea what's going on. See, I think the internet knows all, personally. So, I don't know.
It knows all. It sees all.
It does. The interwebs. I've broken the internet before. Maybe people haven't noticed, but that was me. I did that. There's also silly casting rumors like John Cena and Dwayne Johnson being cast as Superman, which is ridiculous to me. Spider-Man 3D, let's see, character of Mary Jane, who Kirsten Dunst played in the previous films, will not be appearing at all in the upcoming franchise reboot. Interesting. Apparently, the screenplay that's been written for this never featured the character. While there was talk of having competing love interests, the studio decided to stick with just Gwen Stacy.
I want to know why they need to reboot it when we just finished a trilogy that was very successful. Why are they doing another one now?
I don't know. X-Men First Class, not long after Bryan Singer shot down talk of Hugh Jackman making a cameo, a tweet from Wanted author Mark Miller started up rumors that the character of Cyclops would appear in the prequel. However, it ended up being confusion over another character, so...
I quit.
You quit?
I quit.
Quit what?
I refuse. Refuse. You to see any more rebooted, stupid cartoon... makeover movies.
Ouch.
Comic, whatever they are.
Cartoon.
Comics cartoon. And cartoons. That's the it. Same
I'm not.
Thing in my
I'm
world.
Not going to see a live action version of the Snorks.
No, see that I would go see because it's never been done.
Weird.
But if there's been 3 or 4 or 7 movies already, I will not go.
Wow.
Will not. Here, don't even ask me.
Here spaketh the Michelle.
So irritating.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's the Hollywood machine. What are you going to do? It's what the kids want to see.
You know what? The 80s were whatever they were, and the 90s were whatever they were, and I'm just glad it's 2010, because we're going to be pretty soon we'll be out of the first century, and they'll start doing something different.
Or they'll start back in the 60s. I didn't catch this before, but the Transformers, the third film is called Transformers Dark of the Moon. Mm. Wow. It should have been Transformers Bark at the Moon with Ozzy, starring Ozzy Osbourne as Optimus Prime. I think that would have been so awesome. Oh, no. Please don't tell me this. Here's some other news. Disney Pictures is in early negotiations to pick up Amit Zappa, so probably one of Frank's kids, and Michael Wilson's spec script Tiki. Although said to be inspired by Disneyland's Enchanted Tiki Room, the film is not an adaptation of the attraction a la Pirates of the Caribbean. Rather, it's an action-adventure set against the backdrop of Polynesian mythology.
It actually sounds kind of interesting. Oh, at least brother. It's new.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers bloom, in the tiki tiki. I just said flowers bloom. No, it's flowers bloom, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's croon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know. Michelle's been wrong with words before. I'm just putting that out there.
Flowers always bloom, but in the tiki room, they can sing.
I guess croon. Zooey Deschanel is being sought for the role of Betty Brant in the upcoming, so you probably go and see it for this. The role of Betty Brant in the upcoming Spider-Man reboot.
Nope. I've already said I'm not going.
Even with her in it?
Even with her in it.
Wow.
She should be ashamed.
Well, she's being sought.
Sinking to the level of their
all
stupid
right,
reboots.
All right.
I never want to hear that word again.
Let it go. Let it go.
From now on, we call it reshoeing.
Time to let it reshoeing.
Yes, we're moving out of the reboot land and into the land of horses.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't want anything to do with any of it anymore. I think it's so stupid.
Okay. Moving on. Green Lantern has posted a rumored description of the teaser trailer that is set to debut with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. I won't go into
when
detail.
When is that out again? I forgot.
Deathly Hallows?
Mm-hmm.
Soon. Very soon, like next week, I think, or sooner.
Cool.
Thor, much like the two Iron Man films in the years past, Marvel's Thor is scheduled to open a week earlier throughout the globe than in the U.S., which I'm sure will make American fans really delighted.
Why?
I don't know. With the exception of Japan, which gets it July 2nd, all major international territories like the U.K., Australia, France, and New Zealand are set to get it in cinemas April 28th or 29th, a full week ahead of the May 6th release in North America.
So
I guess we probably won't get it either.
We're included with the Americans again.
North American. So Captain America, the First Avenger. Let's see.
Who's J.J. Field?
Actor. So director Joe Johnston has denied the inclusion of Captain America's Invaders squad members, co-members, Namor the Submariner, for example. Oh, member, not members. And said that talk about Submariner is just talk. The story is solidly about Steve Rogers. So there you go. Work on a Muppets film is coming up soon with interesting mentions of Paul Rudd, Jack Black, a few other folks possibly happening in it. More information on Wolverine and Star Trek. The next Wolverine film is being called The Wolverine. Yes, you got it. So it's finally getting to the Japanese storyline from Wolverine's past. So that'll feature prominently in the Wolverine sequel. Star Trek II, this J.J. Abrams film, he is still not signed on to direct it, but shooting is supposed to be kicking off in January, with the script being delivered around Christmas time. So I'm sure we'll hear at some point soon what's going on with that. What else? Avatar. So the Avatar Extended Edition just came out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. When James Cameron mentioned the sequel would mostly take place in the ocean of Pandora, so people were wondering if it would mostly happen underwater. Producer John Landau clarified the comment, saying that water will be part of the movie, but it won't be all of the movie. So there's been a lot of rumors that it's an underwater movie, and it's not. So just like the floating mountains and the Navi's interaction with those mountains were part of Avatar, it'll be the same type of thing in the sequel. You're remarkably silent. Why are you so silent? Dark Knight Rises.
You're going too fast for me to say anything.
Okay, well, jump in. Two big stories in The Dark Knight in the past week. Neither of them have really proven to carry any weight. Likes of Rachel Weisz, Naomi Watts, Blake Lively, Natalie Portman, Anne Hathaway, and Keira Knightley have all been considered for the female lead romantic interest in the third Dark Knight film. But it seemed, those seem to be rumors, at least for the time being. It also is rumored to be the first film to employ a new type of smaller and quieter IMAX camera, which would allow for the entire film to be shot in the jumbo screen format. That would be cool. Entirely IMAX.
Yeah, it would be.
15 films fighting for the animated Oscar. 15 features have been accepted for consideration in the animated feature film category of the 83rd Academy Awards. Wow. The list includes Alpha and Omega, Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore, Despicable Me, The Dreams of Jinsha, How to Train Your Dragon, which should win, Idiots and Angels, The Illusionist, Legend of Zagardian, The Owls of Gahul, Megamind, should also win, I think, My Dog Tulip, Shrek Forever After, Summer Wars, Tangled, which hasn't come out yet, Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue, and Toy Story 3.
Has that Tinkerbell one come out already?
I believe it, yeah, I think it was a direct, Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue was a direct-to-video, I think. So that's pretty much Couch Entertainment News. We have launched a new segment, which is called, oh, I'm just going to let it surprise you. Let's go over to that now.
View from the Couch, Double Shot.
Well, welcome to a brand new segment of View from the Couch, View from the Couch Double Shot. And the reason we're calling it Double Shot, in case you didn't get it and it's really obvious, but it is because we'll be watching a movie and its sequel, or we'll be watching a movie and an original movie and its remake, or something like that. Yep. And so, Connor and Emily, how do you feel about being here for the pilot episode, or the pilot segment of a brand new feature?
Sweet.
Okay, great.
I like dogs better than cats.
You like dogs better than cats. Yeah. Okay, let's start at the beginning. So the premise of Cats and Dogs is that cats and dogs have been enemies for hundreds and thousands of years, I guess, right?
Yes.
Since the Egyptian times.
Exactly.
And I wish I could get my children to stop looking at the recording on this TV, on the computer screen. Look at me. We're having a conversation.
Okay.
So did you know what to expect from the movie? Did you know what it was going to be like?
No, not exactly. I thought it might be like they're just like normal cats and dogs fighting and not like spies, but it turned out to be like spies and super.
I thought it was
going to
be like a love movie where a dog was going to
like Romeo
this
and
cat.
Juliet, a dog and cat fall in love.
Yeah.
Weird. That's weird and kind of scary. So it turns out dogs and cats are, well, especially dogs, are like secret agents, and they're fighting to protect humanity and the world from cats, right?
Yes. And this cat, I forget its name, but I think it's a Persian
Tinkles.
Cat.
Tinkles.
Tinkles?
Isn't it Mr. Tinkles?
Tinkles, he's going to try and make it people will be... won't like dogs anymore. No, I think it's like he's trying to take this thing and make it so...
Trying to take this thing.
He's going to try and create this potion so he can make everybody in the whole entire world allergic to dogs.
Oh, dear. So, oh, that's not good at all.
And then in the second one...
Well, wait. We're not done. So what did you guys think of... Because it's real animals. They're not puppets or animatronic characters or anything. So it's real dogs and real cats. And their eyes and mouths are animated.
Right? Yeah. And I know... He's the main character, the main dog.
Yep.
Which is the main character.
Lou.
Lou. He... is like the rest of the guys in this group sort of thing. One of the dogs that's hairy and white, he's a bit of a show off and he likes to goof around, and then he's trying to be like a secret agent.
Sam.
And then when he's coming with them, he's coming out and he goes behind the tree and he's just like, duh.
Okay.
And then he rolls, rolling across.
Let me interrupt for a sec. Okay, instead of talking about every scene in the movie, let's just talk about different parts of it. So what did you think of how it was animated? Did you think it was silly? Was it neat?
It was
It was good. Can I continue telling about... So when he's rolling across the road, it looks like they put... the dog rolling over a bunch of times connected.
Ah, cool. So they use animation to do the eyes and mouths, and then famous actors do the voices. So there's Tobey Maguire, who is in Spider-Man. There is Charlton Heston, who's a very famous actor. There is Mr. Baldwin. What's his name now? Alec Baldwin. Yes, so Alec Baldwin does a voice, and then the main human characters are played by Jeff Goldblum and Elizabeth Perkins. So very distributed by Warner Brothers, good movie overall, music by John Debney, and John Debney's a fantastic composer, so it's a lot of fun. It's an interesting look at the world of cats and dogs as though they were ancient enemies
it has this little thing where they're... In the Egyptian, when they were talking about Egyptian times, they said that cats controlled the humans.
And treated them like their litter box.
Yeah, treated them like slaves.
Yeah, treated them like slaves.
And then dogs came along and rescued them, right?
Dog's best friend.
Perfect. Man's best friend
rose up and...
Okay, so that was Cats and Dogs, the first movie, and then you saw the sequel right after. So you saw the sequel is called Cats and Dogs: The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
One wasn't my favorite. I liked the first one better.
Yeah,
not because it had a beagle in it, because I thought the second one it didn't really have.
Story wasn't very good.
Well, I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite.
Okay, why wasn't it your favorite? What did you like more about the first one that you didn't like in the second?
Well, the first one they had more like about the dog, and then in the second one they just added on new characters and got rid of some of the characters.
Were there any characters that were the same in the sequel?
Yes.
Okay. Lou was older and he was like
the agent thing.
Agent, like he was helping them.
Okay.
And he wasn't as young and starting out as an agent, so
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. The interesting thing about Cats and Dogs, the first one, is that it was an Australian-American film. So that was a joint production, Australian-American. Not sure why, but there you go. The first one was nominated for the Young Artist Award for Best Family Feature Film and Best Performance in a Feature Film for the actor Alexander Pollock, the young boy. And John Debney won the ASCAP Award for his musical contribution to the film, as well as he also won awards for Princess Diaries and Spy Kids. So, the character now, Michael Clark Duncan, Joe Pantoliano, and Sean Hayes did voices for Revenge of Kitty Galore. And the tagline for Cats and Dogs, Revenge of Kitty Galore, was just like real spies, only furrier. Cute. So the sequel also had Bette Midler, James Marsden, Christina Applegate, Michael Clark Duncan came back, Neil Patrick Harris took over the role that Tobey Maguire did. Sean Hayes was back, Nick Nolte, Wallace Shawn, Joe Pantoliano, Chris O'Donnell, Paul Rodriguez. So a lot of great character actors joined the cast the second time around. What was the main part of the story in the second one?
Well, there's this cat whose name is Kitty Galore, and she fell into this
hair removal.
Oh, that's right. So she's one of those hairless cats that are so creepy looking.
Yeah, she got I think a dog made her fall into this pool.
Okay.
And she all her fur came off, and then she went to go back see her. She worked with this company called Meows, and then she wanted to go back
to her house, but then when she went back, they were scared of her and they kicked her back out, and it was Christmas, and she got mad, and she wanted revenge.
And she got evil, and she wanted revenge.
Gotcha. That always happens to the nicest people. They get rejected at Christmas, and then they become supervillain cats.
She has a mouse that she calls Scrumptious.
Okay.
And also she has a guy, like a sidekick sort of thing.
Yep.
He looks like a cat, but he's actually a robot.
Aha. Well, don't give away too much now.
Oh, sorry.
So how was the animation done the same? Was it better? Yeah, was it better. Different?
Well, it was different because the Kitty Galore, she was kind of... I liked her, mm-hmm. but like she was kind of... creepy because she had no hair.
Right. So the first film didn't really do that well, didn't get a lot of great reviews. And then this one also got negative reviews. Rotten Tomatoes reported that 13% of critics had given the film a positive review, but the average score was 3.6 out of 10, so that's not good. Critical consensus was that it's dull and unfunny. It's an inexplicable sequel that offers little more than a spectacle of digitally rendered talking animals with celebrity voices. Oh dear. So what was the story better in the first one?
Yeah, the story was better in the first mm-hmm. one. I think it was the first one's better. The second one was okay, but it wasn't as good.
First one was funnier, but the second one had a lot more reference to swears.
Oh, swears.
No. Oh, my dog.
Oh, yeah. Just being silly, hey?
And it didn't say that in the first one, and the first one was a little bit more, like, firm and not as... like referring to
better story.
No, yeah, it was good though.
Because it was a little bit longer ago when swears weren't as popular.
So if I give you from 1 to 10, 1 being don't even bother, to 10,
which one?
To Captain just a minute, Austin. To 10 being go out and see it right now. Drop your shorts and run out and see it. So the first one, Cats and Dogs. Connor?
Okay.
From 1 to 10.
I would have to say it's 7.
A 7? That's high. Okay. And Emily?
I'd say a 10 because I really, really, really liked it.
Well, let me give you an idea here. Let's say Beauty and the Beast, which you love, is a 10. You probably don't want to give Cats and Dogs a 10, do you? But you can.
Well, I'd say so your next best...
No, Cats and Dogs is a 9 for me.
Okay.
I think a 10 is... So I have to say a 9, too.
Okay, and then Cats and Dogs, Revenge of Kitty Galore. Connor?
7.5.
7.5 out of 10? Wow, you're being kind. Okay.
I'd Emily? Say 6.5.
6.5, that's a little lower. So there you have it, folks. Cats and Dogs and Cats and Dogs, Revenge of Kitty Galore, the first View from the Couch double shot. Thank you, guys, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
So there you have it, Connor and Emily talking about... Cats and Dogs and Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore in a View from the Couch double shot, the debut of that segment. So we will not do it every week, obviously, but we'll pop it out from time to time. And we'll also get back to some of these the other segments that we used to do as regulars and haven't done in a while.
Yes, so, we've been too busy to
no kidding.
Watch anything.
No
really.
Kidding. So we're very happy with the addition of Cela Ward to CSI New York.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that? Not only the news, but obviously we watch that show very loyally.
I think it will revive the series. Like, I don't know how many years it had gone. What season are they on now?
They're into 7 now, I believe.
Because it was on its way out, if you ask me.
I don't think so.
I mean, it was still a strong show, but it was just getting stale. They needed something fresh and new, and I think having Cela Ward on there has brought a lot to it. They can add a lot more depth. They have added a lot more depth with her character, being a mother and having a family, and she's also got a good sense of humor that she brings into it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they've written her to be that way, but the show needed something like that to kind of lighten it up and make it a little more fun.
Yeah, and Cela Ward, I mean, she's just one of my favorite actors all around. She's
this
awesome.
This is true. She is good.
So, I missed her. She hasn't been around in quite a while.
Yeah, what was the last thing she did? Remember, what was that show called again? Or at least series, TV series.
Something and Again.
Now and Again?
Now and Again, yeah. With, he was in Rocketeer.
Oh, I don't remember his name. Anyway, yeah, so it's been a while since she's been on a regular series, and she's just a really amazing, like, she's just an awesome actress. I like her a lot.
She's very, she and Gary Sinise, to me, are quite similar. They're both very natural actors. Like, you just really, it's effortless for them, and it doesn't really seem like they're acting versus other actors. I would say the majority of actors out there, you get when you're watching a film or a TV series, you get a feeling that there's a printed page behind what they're delivering. But Gary Sinise and Cela Ward are very, very natural.
Yeah.
Like, even some of their co-stars in the series are not as, not to say anybody's clunky, but
no,
it's not as smooth, not as polished. And that's why they're the leads, I guess.
Yeah. No. Let me just say, I don't really miss Melina Kanagarides.
She was great, but I think, for me, I think it was time for a core cast change. I didn't think the series was getting stale, because it quickly became my favorite of the CSI franchise, and still is. Like, I think the original, it's time to retire that series. Adding in...
The one in Vegas.
Yeah. Adding in Lawrence Fishburne was a good choice. And the other thing, too, while we're talking about all things CSI, is adding in, I almost said Katie Strickland. Katie Strickland is from Private Practice. I've just totally blanked out.
Which character?
From Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Katie Sackhoff.
Yes.
Wow. Sorry, Katie. And Katie Sackhoff has done some funny cameos on Big Bang Theory, too, which is another great show that we love. But apparently when Georgia Fox left CSI the first time during, I think it was the time there was some contract issues, they really wanted to get Katie Sackhoff into the cast. And I don't think Battlestar was done she couldn't have done 2 concurrent series. There's no way. So now that she's free from Battlestar, they were able to grab her. And so far she's done a couple of episodes, and it seems to be kind of a guest star run, but there sure is a flavor of seeing more and more of her. I would love if she was added to the core cast. I think she's a breath of fresh air, and I think she's...
And if Georgia Fox never came back, I don't think anyone would shed a tear.
I don't know. Maybe the Georgia Fox fan club.
Yeah,
sorry,
maybe.
Sorry, guys.
All 14 of them.
Wow. You're in a acerbic sort of mood today.
I am a little.
You're sitting back and taking shots. speaking of shots, pass me that bottle.
It's all gone.
So this is, I think we talked about this last week. This is a weird limbo between Halloween and Christmas. You know, this is a weird kind of...
I don't know, we're ramping up to Christmas pretty fast, I'll say.
The snow is happening nicely, and then I start my new job on November 30th, so then it's not even 4 weeks, not even, like, probably 3 weeks and a touch, and it'll be Christmas time. So.
And we're going to have company. My sister
That's
and
right.
her little girl are coming to visit, and my
sister
mom and dad.
Sister-in-law and her niece, and Michelle's folks.
And we'll see my brother-in-law and my nephew.
Yes.
Did you
really?
Know?
No, yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So we will see our nephew. There you go. I didn't know that.
So it's going to be kind of a nice little visit. I'm excited about it.
It will indeed. Michelle is all about the family, so that's good. It's a good little hit for you. A pre-Christmas hit of family.
Yes.
So, yeah, get out and do your Christmas shopping early, because that's what people should do, and I usually try and do that. I've gotten a couple of things, but not a lot. So
no,
I guess
I need to
get on that wagon. We need to make lists and check them twice. That's what I think we need.
Right.
So, everybody, enjoy the week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we appreciate it, and we will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.